Nice to see the pastors, praise the Lord. Men of faith, women of faith, standing here together. Well, I do want to welcome everybody that is watching us via live streaming. I know around the country, of course, here in San Diego, the bulk of the people, but people were watching as far as South Africa last week, and we do want to welcome everybody here this morning. I believe I have a word from the Lord for you. It's basically continuation from last week, when I spoke about divine provision and divine protection. So we could call it divine provision and divine protection part two. This week, I saw a stat that was done where 90% of the people that were surveyed were worried about the impact that the COVID-19 pandemic is going to have on their financial future and on their family. So worry has become a central problem throughout the nations of the world. And I'm going to talk about that this morning. But I want to take you back. You might remember, I've shared this before, but 2 days before Mother's Day last year, 2019, Pastor Jackie had become very, very sick. And I mean, she was really, really battling. She couldn't breathe. She couldn't swallow properly. And it was a very scary time, and she came out with this profound statement, and she said, the devil can scare us, but he doesn't control us. And 2 days later, she had an MG crisis, which sent her into the ICU, onto life support, a ventilator, for 11 days. Basically, she was only living because of this ventilator. So now, fast forward 10 months since May, and I know a lot of you want to know how Pastor Jackie's doing, so I thought I would share with you what's going on. So she's off her blood pressure medication. She is off her blood thinning medication. She's had her heart medication reduced, and the prednisone, I've said so many times, now I'm fumbling over it. The cortisone, the steroid that she takes, she used to be on 40 milligrams a day for 10 months. She's down to 5 milligrams every second day. And this has changed a lot of things. There is no edema in her body. She was swollen in her face and her arms and her legs were swollen. She had open wounds and sores where the skin had peeled off and she was bleeding out of her, all over her body. Those are all healed. She has no wounds whatsoever. The skin is normal. Her oxygenation level, the saturation, is above 90% constantly. And I know that you're involved in praying for that. Cognitively, she has come back to where she is now better than she was. In fact, she is where she was prior to the crisis in May of last year, where she lost. Literally, if you knew Jackie, she lost 90% of who she was. She couldn't speak. She couldn't form a sentence. She couldn't start a word. She was pervasive. She was in a cycle. She had no short-term memory. It lasted exactly 2 minutes. Well, that is all gone. She is speaking normally. She's absolutely. And I've got a couple of stories I want to tell you just how well she is doing. One of the caregivers said, well, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we've got to make you a smoothie with your meds. And Jackie said, I don't want to do the smoothie. I don't want to do the smoothie. So the caregiver said, well, I'll go and talk, you know, to Pastor Henry and see what he decides. So, yeah, she said, you get me out of it. Well, she came back a few minutes later and she said, no, Pastor Henry said, you've got to have it. She said, you need to try harder. And she said, no, I did try harder. But she said, you know, this is really good for you. And she said, it's good for you too. So she wanted the caregiver to partake in her. And then this week, it was her shower day on Friday. So she did very well. We transferred her out of the bed into the shower chair. She did phenomenally well. She came back, she had washed her hair, they washed her hair and put her back, put some smellies on her, and so she was all nice and comfy and in the bed and just lying there comfortable. And she said, you know, I'm fresh, I'm clean, I'm showered, I smell nice, my hair's been done, I'm just so warm. and the government's going to give me money. She watches the TV with me as well. So she's back. Jackie is back. We have her stand on the side of the bed. She couldn't stand at all. We have her stand for about up to 3 minutes now. We get her standing full weight on her legs. And last week and also yesterday, I just want to share this with you. We got her out of the bed, and one of us holds her, and the other one moves the affected leg so it could slide properly forward. And last week and yesterday, she walked 90 little paces like this. Just tiny, tiny little steps. Of course, halfway through it, she takes a rest in the wheelchair and for about half an hour, and then we get out the wheelchair again, and then she walks these little paces. But you've got to know that this is like running a marathon. And yesterday and earlier this week as well, we got in the wheelchair. It was a beautiful sunny day. We took her outside, got a bit of sun on her body, and let her have her drink outside. She was in the wheelchair for about an hour and a half outside of bed. But my favorite part of this week, as you all know, was my birthday on Wednesday. And thank you so much for all the birthday wishes. Overwhelming. I've never had so many birthday wishes. Well, Jackie got out of the bed. We took her to the dining room table. She sat in a regular dining room table chair with the family and the children for 2 hours as we had my birthday dinner. Won't you all just give God a good praise? I thought you would like to hear it. And once again, we want to thank those who continue to support us, Jackie and myself, with your finances so that we can have a care team around us. It means so much to us. So the devil wants to control us, and he does it through fear. When you meditate on the things that caused you to be afraid, that becomes worry. Literally, worry is meditation on the thing that has caused you to be afraid. You might remember, I think it was last year, Cindy had a car accident, may have been a little longer, but probably last year sometime. And she shared with me this week, we were talking about this, and she said that she is still a little overly cautious when she drives. She's still looking left and right to see because she wants to avert another accident. You know, it's playing on her mind. And, you know, I wonder how many people who went through the recession or one of the depression, you might be older and you went through the depression, and this causes you to, it changes your life completely. And many people are going to have their lives changed because of this COVID-19 pandemic. They just will not be able to get through the fear that has settled in their hearts and minds. And I believe in Jesus' name that all of us will overcome and we will get through it. Amen? So meditating on fear is worry, and we want to deal with that. So it's okay to get a fright. It's okay to get a scare. It's a real temporary thing. But the length of time that you think about the fear is what determines the depth of your worry. And that worry and that anxiety can really overtake you. Now, for those of you who are struggling at this time, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to talk you off the ledge, as they say. I'm going to talk you down. So I'm going to put things in perspective today. Now, putting things in perspective about the COVID-19 doesn't change the reality that thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are sick and many thousands have died. It doesn't change the reality of that. But what it will do, it will change the lens through which you view it. And that's what I want to do today. I want to try and give you a new lens. The question I want to pose to you is, how dangerous is the COVID-19 virus? How dangerous is it? So I went to the CDC government website, and this information I've got off there, so you can go there yourself. In the usual flu season that we have in America, as many as 40 million people get flu every single year. Of that, around 60,000 people die every year in just the flu season in America. Not 6,000, 60,000. The opioid crisis that's occurring at the moment in America. Did you know that in 2017 and also 2018, 47,000 people OD'd on opiates? 47,000. If you think about the motor car deaths and accidents, Every year there are 30,000 deaths. Now, I understand that a car accident, somebody dies immediately. There's no prolonged hospitalization. I also understand that with the opiate overdose, that normally it's a death before they can get any help. And so that doesn't overwhelm the hospitals. But if you consider this flu season that we've been in right now, this current flu season, 39 million people in America contracted flu. Of them, 400,000 were hospitalized. And of the 400,000 that were hospitalized, 24,000 died. So think about that. There's up to 60,000, between 20,000 and 60,000 deaths per year from the flu. So here's my question. Why haven't we seen massive shutdowns? Why haven't we seen lock-ins and social distancing and the shutting down of the economy? Because those deaths, those numbers, far supersede anything that we're seeing with the COVID-19 crisis. Before I left home this morning, I checked. Currently, there's 124,000 confirmed cases. This is Sunday morning around 9 o'clock in America, 124,000. I know it's climbing exponentially. We've got 2,250 deaths. Now, listen carefully. I'm not making light of any death because obviously this is painful to the family concerned. Every life is precious and valuable, and we're not making light of it. But what I'm trying to do is put this thing into perspective. I'm asking the question, why have the authorities caused such a massive lockdown and brought the economy of America to its knees? What is going on? Why is there such panic concerning buying toilet paper? I mean, you know, I went to Ralph's the other day, and there's an aisle in Rife that says panic buying. An aisle dedicated to panic buying. It was empty. Figure that out. Okay? So what do you think is going on here? And what is behind this? I'm going to give you one word. That one word is fear. The fear is actually worse than the virus. And here's the problem. It's actually been fanned into a California wildfire by the media. They're running with this thing and they're making it far worse than it really is. What is going on here? Now, I'm going to take you behind the scenes. I'm going to give you a spiritual insight. All right? Jesus said that just before his return in the last days, things like this are going to happen. There's going to be plagues. There's going to be wars, rumors of wars, pestilence. And he said this, men's hearts will fail them for fear for what's coming on the earth. Satan knows this, and I want to tell you now that Satan is behind what is going on right now. You see, the stage is being set for a one-world government. And if America remains as strong as it was, then it would be almost impossible for America to yield its powers to a one-world government. So, to prove my point, the British Prime Minister, former British Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, who was Prime Minister in England from 27 until 2010, made a statement this week, proposed for medical and financial crisis a one-world government. This is public knowledge. You can go and see it yourself. So, Satan is behind the virus. You need to know who is behind this virus. It is not an individual and it's not a country. Satan is the one orchestrating the fear and fanning the flame. Because Jesus said, Satan comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And what he does through this is he brings people into bondage. And the bondage is fear. People have changed their lifestyle. Listen, not only has Satan succeeded in his all-out war that he's engaged with America, with our President Donald Trump, and with the economy bringing it to its knees, he's also shut down the churches. This is an amazing move. It's never been done before on this scale. Just never, ever happened before. You have to understand this is a spiritual power at work to try and bring down America, to try and change what's going on in America. And economists are talking about recession in the second quarter. Unfortunately, I have to agree with them. simply based on the fact that the economy has already been shut down for 2 weeks, and it's at least going to be another 2 or 3 weeks before the economy starts to even move. But the damage has been done. The people have already lost wages. Businesses have been shut down and may never recover. This money is gone, all right? And so this is going to play out in the economy. However, I've got good news for you in the name of Jesus. Amen? We will come out of this thing and we will come out prosperous in the name of Jesus. We have identified our enemy as Satan, and we adjure you in the name of Jesus and you demonic forces that are behind this COVID virus. You stop right now in your maneuvers. You back off in the name of Jesus. We take authority over you. You will not affect one family in the Promised Church. You will not affect one family in San Diego. You will not affect one family in America. This is it. You're done in the name of Jesus. We bind your powers and we render you useless. We understand who you are, Satan, and we're coming against you in the authority of the name of Jesus. We'll not stand for this. We will not stand for this. But you know, I've got a little bit of sad news. You know, the truth is this, that in the good times, Christians tend to be a little lethargic, a little lackadaisical. They don't pray as much as they should. They don't read the Bible as much as they could. They don't attend church as often as they need to or should, and they spend more time in leisure than in spiritual things because everything is going so well. They've got a great job. They're healthy. Doesn't seem to be any problems. But this is not true for passionate believers. Amen. This is not true for passionate believers. In those times, what tends to happen is their spiritual thermometer, their temperature drops a little. They go a little cool towards the things of God. But when things turn bad, when problems really start to come their way, they will begin to seek God. They hit their knees. They begin to pray. They start attending church more often. They earnestly start seeking answers from God. So you know what? What the devil has meant for evil, God is going to turn for good. I've got good news for you. The greatest revival we've ever seen on the planet Earth is going to start this year. 2020. Why? Because people are going to turn to God. The lukewarm are going to get fired up and come back to church. We're going to be having to run 3 services here because people are going to be pouring in and knocking the doors. They're going to get right with God. They're going to be healed. They're going to want to build their faith. They say, I have enough of this, and they're going to want God to help them in their finances and get a new job or get a better job. Things are going to turn around. I tell you, the devil is a dog. He always ends up biting his own tail. And this is what's going on right now. God is going to turn this thing around. He promises he would in the name of Jesus. I believe the great revival is upon us. Amen. Now, let's put this virus in perspective when it comes to the Word of God. We've looked at it in perspective to other illnesses and diseases, but let's put it in perspective when it comes to the Word of God. I've got 6 points for you today. All right? Point number one, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm going to read Matthew 6 and 25. If you can turn to it in your Bible, I'll give you a moment to get to it. Matthew 6, 25. I'm going to read out of the NIV. It goes like this. Jesus is talking, and he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Have you ever seen a group of sparrows get together and get around somewhere and put their wings over their head and go, I just don't know what we're going to do. Where are we going to get seed tomorrow? Have you heard the coronavirus is out there and maybe there won't be any seed for us? And they all get together and they flap their little feathers and they go, I mean, this is a real problem. No, the birds expect there to be seed for them tomorrow. They don't worry about it. And Jesus said, are you not more valuable than they? So don't worry, because God considers you to be more valuable and more precious than the sparrows that he feeds. He will take care of you. And then Jesus said, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? So don't worry about your basic needs. Don't worry about your things. But listen to this. This is so powerful because Jesus is saying, who that is sick can add 1 hour to your life by worrying. Understand, worrying doesn't add to your life. If anything, it'll shorten your life, it'll talk you out of faith, and it'll deny the access and the power of the Bible, the Word of God, in your life. The worst thing you can do is to worry about your health or your wealth. Amen. So let's read verse 34. Therefore, do not worry. These are the reasons Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. It doesn't help. In fact, it worsens the situation. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Now, when you worry, you will say things out of your mouth that will affect your tomorrow. What you say today, and you know this, life and death is in the power of the tongue, but this is the crucial time when you're being squeezed under pressure. You have to watch what you say. So don't curse your future because you're worried about today, and then you're worried about your tomorrow, and then you curse. You have to live in your tomorrow. Speak words of life concerning your tomorrow. Amen? You can't do that until you get into peace now. Now, you have to let the peace of God dominate you right now so that you can speak out of that peace that's in your heart. Do not worry, he said. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Say that with me, please. God is my refuge. And God is my strength. He is a very present help in a time of trouble. Amen. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. Now, here's the thing. We have got to see God in this light. If we can really see who he is, there's no justification for worry. No justification. You know how much last year that I had to deal with worry and anxiety and fear and doubts concerning Jackie. I shared my heart with you. Every week I spoke to you about believing God and having faith and overcoming the doubts. I shared with you over and over and over. And where are we today? A year later, where are we today? Amen? I have not given up the same principles. I work every single day, multiple times of the day. Because Satan constantly, he doesn't let up, constantly lets me think about what if? What if? Where's this going? And this is what he's trying to do to you. He's trying to tell you what if. What if you don't get a job back? What if someone in your family gets coronavirus? What if, what if, what if? Just tell him to shut up with the what ifs. Amen? Tell him. Because he's sick with the what ifs. That's what he's the disease he's got is called the what ifs. Number two, point number two. Don't be anxious. Pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. When you pray with thanksgiving, it means you have received the answer. You pray with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, one of my favorite verses. Do not be anxious about anything. Say that with me. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Notice prayer with petition. Petition is another form of in-depth prayer, intercession. Prayer and bring it to God, and then with thanksgiving. We thank God because we know that we know that we know he heard us when we prayed. We have the answer. And if we'll do this, we present our request to God. The Bible said that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I love this in the NIV. It said the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. Those are the two vulnerable areas that Satan is trying to get a hold of in your mind. If you can get your mind, you'll begin to think about the negative. You'll begin to think about fear things, anxious things, and so on. So the peace of God, the peace stands guard over your mind. But you've got to pray. You've got to believe that God heard you and give thanks. And then the peace of God comes. Once you've given thanks, he'll stand guard. The Contemporary English Bible says this: this peace will control the way that you think and feel. It will control the way that you think and feel. I've said many times before that most of us are moved by our emotions, by what we feel. We allow our emotions to dominate us because our feelings are so real. They're in our body, they're in our mind, everything else, and they rise up, and you feel those strongly. And that's what we have to be very careful about, all right? Because if you go shopping and you see the lines outside Costco and you've got to wait for 15, 20 minutes to get in and you can't find a parking space and you begin to panic, and then you get in, you panic buy, and then you're living in fear constantly all the time, and that rises up within you as an emotion that will get into your mind and into your spirit, man, and then it's very difficult for you to break that. But the peace of God, the peace of God will bring you right out of that. Amen? Finally, my brothers, this is point number three I'm getting to you. You have to think about the things that will encourage you. Finally, my friends, keep your minds on whatever is pure, whatever is true, what is right, holy, friendly, and proper. Don't ever stop thinking. Don't ever stop thinking about what is true, worthwhile, and worthy of praise. So if your mind runs away and begins to think another way, you say, wait a minute, you pull that like you're pulling a horse, like you got it by its reins, and you pull that thing and you say, no, I'm not allowing you to go that way. Not allowing you to go that way. It happened to me during praise and worship today. I was praise and worshiping, and the next thing my mind went away to the what ifs. And I just stopped right then. I just said out loud, oh no, in the name of Jesus, I am not going to think down that road. I'm not going to let my mind go down that road. And I pulled it right back in the name of Jesus. Took authority over that thing, would not think it. Don't allow your mind to run down that road. Think always. Number four, don't worry about money. You know what? God loves to bless his children. I'm going to show you God loves to bless his children and take care of his children. Listen to this scripture in Psalm 41 and verse 1 out of the Contemporary English Version. You, Lord God, bless everyone who cares for the poor, and you rescue these people or those people in times of trouble. You rescue them in times of trouble. I've shared Jackie's testimony many times. This is one of the verses that I went to God with when she had the stroke 21 years ago, and she was dying, and there was no hope for her to live, no hope. Her brain had swollen and was crushing the swollen part was crushing the other side into the inner wall of her skull. The doctors had told me she has 2 hours to live. Literally 2 hours to live. You know that you're facing something critical when the doctors tell you you've got 2 hours to live. And one of the scriptures I went to God with was Psalm 41 and verse 1. Why? Because Jackie has been consistently one of the biggest, most generous givers I have ever known in my life. I said, God, you said if someone cares for the poor, you'll rescue them. I said, we have given to Sister Padma, and so have you. We have given to this church, and this church has supported Sister Padma with tens of thousands of dollars every year, around about $30,000. She sent me pictures last week before India got shut down for 21 days of her. You know, if you live in India, you're poor. But there's poor people in India that are really poor, that live on trash dumps. She was down there at the trash dumps in her car feeding the poor. And she wrote to me with pictures of her feeding these people. Were standing there. They had little tents on the trash dumps. And she was feeding them. And she said, I want to be sure that I did what Jesus said, because he said, you didn't take care of the poor, so you can't come in. So I want to be sure that I'm taking care of the poor. People, that's who we are supporting. And I know that you've supported other people, but you can claim this scripture for yourself. And listen to verse 2. You protect them and keep them alive. And that's what I said to God. Protect Jackie and keep her alive. This is your promise. Right now, divine protection. God is divinely protecting you. He said he would protect you if you've been a giver to the poor and will keep you alive and make them happy in this land that you so you don't hand them over to the enemies. You are a tither. You are a giver. As Pastor Cindy says every week when the offering is received and people clap and they shout, my cheerful givers. She talks about my cheerful givers, my hilarious givers. Every time, you are a cheerful giver and the scripture applies to you. All right, let me give you one more financial scripture just to show you God is going to take care of you in this time. And it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. I tell you, one of my most famous, blessed, love scriptures in the Bible concerning finances. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. And I'm going to read to you out of the Amplified Bible. Let each one of you give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. Now watch this. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, he prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without. This is also another scripture that I used when I went to God for Jackie's life. I said, you are unwilling to do without. I said, Lord, I am unwilling to do without my wife. I said, our family is unwilling to do without my wife. I said, our church is unwilling to do without Jackie. I said, the body of Christ is unwilling to do without Jackie. And you are unwilling to do without Jackie. So in the name of Jesus, she will live. This applies to you, my friends, my Christian brothers and sisters. Listen, this applies to you. God is unwilling to abandon you at this time. And he's unwilling to do without you. You are not going to die from the coronavirus. I speak life to you in Jesus' name. God said, a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do giver whose heart is in his giving. And then verse 8, God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always, everybody say always, and under all circumstances, say all circumstances, and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. This is God's word to you. Say this with me. Come on, say this out with me. Because I'm a tither and a giver, God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to me in abundance so that I always and under all circumstances have more than enough. Come on, in your house, they go, give God praise. They're right in your home. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Well, I'm shouting myself hoarse, and then I'll jump on my horse and ride home. Number five. Say this with me. We will overcome. Come on, say it like you mean it. We will overcome. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, for whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. We have the victory. We have the victory. The devil is defeated. We know he's been defeated. And we have bound his attacks in the name of Jesus on our family, on the promised family, and on America. We've bound him. We are victorious in Jesus' name. And now, John 10, 35, as I'm drawing this thing to an end. Do not, out of the Amplified Bible, do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence. Say, I have fearless confidence. The confidence is not in yourself. The confidence is in God. Fearless confidence, for it carries a great, glorious compensation reward. So don't throw it away. What does it mean? Don't quit. Don't quit believing. Don't quit hoping. Hope is the thing that will get you through this. Hope is the future. You can place your faith in hope. Hope is so important to you. Amplified Bible, Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And I like to add this on and win. A lot of people will come against you, viruses, plagues, economy, all this will come against you. But if God is for you, if God's on your side, we can see it as we sang today. We can see this thing from the victory. Amen. He is never defeated, never will be. We have a victory in Christ forever. And number six, the last thing I want you to do is this. I want you to cast your cares. Cast your cares. Number six. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all on Him. For He cares for you affectionately, and He cares about you watchfully. Cast your cares. You know what? I've done this before. I took a pad, and I wrote down the things that were really worrying me, the things that I was afraid about, things that I was concerned. I wrote them all down, and then I wrote on there, put the scripture down. I said, Lord Jesus, I'm casting these on you once and for all. I tore that page, I crumpled it into a ball, and I threw it in the waste place of the barn. I just threw it in just like that. I said, here go the cares. I did something practical. You might want to do that at home. Get a moment, write it down, crumple it up, and say, in the name of Jesus, my job that I'm concerned about, the health of my family I'm concerned about, my company that I'm concerned about, here it is. This is the care, Lord, and I'm casting it on you in Jesus' name. And when you do, receive the peace of God. All right? Receive the peace of God. We're going to have some communion with you right now. So if you've got everything ready and prepared, I'm going to ask Pastor Andrew if he would serve me, and then we're going to partake of the communion together. And we'll do this every week while we're apart this way, and then Pastor Lindsay is going to speak briefly to you, to the children. Amen.